Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Talk about Palm Sunday, what it means for those of you who maybe grew up in church. I grew up in a church, a Baptist church, and on Palm Sunday, the only difference for us was they used to give us those little palm branches that we use to swat one another in Sunday school. And so we don't pass those out anymore. But it has a lot more significance than we've given it credit for. You know, of the four Gospels, which are like biographies of Jesus' life, we find that all four of them always don't cover the same events. In fact, only two of them cover Jesus' birth, Matthew and Luke. But all four talk about what they call the triumphal entry. This was Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and it began the week that was the pathway to the cross. So we'll read John's example this morning. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among yourselves, "See that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." What they call the triumphal entry was Jesus riding on a donkey coming into Jerusalem, and the palm trees, many of them waved him, but they also kind of formed a red carpet, like some took their coats off and laid them on the road where Jesus would be walking, where the donkey would be walking, Jesus would be riding. Or they put the palm branches down. And this is why we call it Palm Sunday. The closest thing that we can attribute to this would be like when a team wins a championship. I mean, when the Astros won a championship in downtown Houston, they had a huge procession. I think hundreds of thousands of people showed up for that. It's like a parade. And so that's the closest thing we have to it. This was different. This was Jesus coming in, and it's significant for a couple of things. One, this was the most important week of his life, and it makes it the most important week of our life. And it was his pathway to the cross. Another thing is, it was the fulfillment of prophecy. Some 500 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Zechariah spoke in Zechariah 9:9 and said, "Behold, your king is coming lowly and sitting on a colt." So it was the fulfillment. 500 years later, it was fulfilled. Aren't you glad we have a God that knows how to fulfill his word and can fulfill his prophecy and can fulfill his promises? It was done then. And also, it was a precursor of probably what took place in heaven when Jesus rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and over darkness and over disease, and entered into heaven, having made a show of them openly and a show of the enemy and all his power, and Jesus rose victorious over that. It was his entry into Jerusalem, but it's not the only entry. He is coming back. And when he comes back, he won't be riding on a donkey. If you read in the book of Revelation, he comes back, and he does not come back as the lowly king. He comes back with fire in his eyes and a white robe, and on his thigh is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's riding a white horse, and he is coming to conquer and to reign, and we're coming with him. And he is coming back to be king, not just a spiritual kingdom, but king on this earth, and he will reign forever and ever. Aren't you glad we've got a kingdom we're part of that will never change? It has a significance, Palm Sunday. But my question is, who was there? You have that many people. Who were the ones who were there on Palm Sunday? Four groups were there. Let's talk about them a little bit. First one is the group that was contrary. These were the people who were opposed to Jesus. And there were a lot of them, the Pharisees. The Pharisees had been opposed to Jesus all his life and ministry. They always opposed him. In fact, Luke tells us that when the children and the people were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the King," some of the Pharisees actually called out to Jesus when he's riding by, and they're saying, "Jesus, rebuke your disciples." They didn't like him. Pharisees did not like Jesus being referred to as the King of Israel. And Jesus looked at them, and I love how Jesus deals with the Pharisees, man. He shuts this group down all the time. And he looked at them and said, "Let me tell you something. If these did not cry out, the stones would cry out. He is King." But man, they didn't like him. And they had opposed him. Because for the Pharisees, they were all about a religious show. It was all outward. When Jesus came, he talked about that the relationship with God was not an outward show. It was an inward thing of the heart. So there were the contrary. There were also the curious. They had heard that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. Now, we kind of read that and we go, "Oh, Lazarus had been..." Listen, if somebody had been raised from the dead after being dead for 4 days, that goes viral. And it went viral back then. And people had heard about that. And so there were a lot of people that came because there was a drawing in them towards the idea of a supernatural Jesus. He was working something supernatural in the earth. And maybe they were curious that maybe they would see a miracle. Or maybe Jesus would do a miracle for them. There were the contrary. There were the curious. There were the confident. These were the ones who were celebrating Jesus as a king. And they were the ones shouting, "Hosanna." Hosanna means a shout of praise. It actually literally means "help" or "save, Lord." But it became a cry of praise. And these were the ones celebrating Jesus as a king. And they knew that he was a king. And that because he was king of Israel. And he was going to change the nation of Israel. They were shouting Hosanna because they were confident that he was going to usher in a new order in Israel. That he was going to offer them a better future than what they had. That Jesus was going to improve their life. No longer would they be under Roman rule. No longer would they be a defeated nation. Now we have a king. They were confident, but they weren't understanding. They did not understand that Jesus was talking about a spiritual kingdom. In fact, when he stood before Pilate, if you ever read that dialogue, Pilate was convinced that Jesus was a king. And he asked Jesus, he said, "Are you a king?" Jesus did not deny it. He said, "You rightly say I'm a king." But he also said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He said, "If my kingdom was of this world," what's he saying? His kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. So many did not understand that. And they were confident that he would be their king, he would be their answer, he would be their future. And when they saw him scourged and beaten and wearing a crown of thorns, that confidence changed. And many of the ones who had shouted Hosanna now shouted crucify. The contrary, the chosen, the confident, and the changed. I wonder how many people were in that crowd who Jesus had healed or delivered. I wonder if Jairus brought his daughter, the one Jesus raised from the dead. I wonder if Jairus brought her to see Jesus. I wonder if some of the lepers who could never be in public were now in public because now they were cleansed and they could actually be around people for the first time, because we see story after story of Jesus healing people and delivering people. And there were people in that crowd who had been blind, but they weren't blind anymore, and they could see Jesus, and they're shouting Hosanna because he changed their life. How about the ones that Jesus had shown mercy and forgiveness to? I bet there were tax collectors there. Everybody hated them. Jesus was the only one who accepted them. How about the woman taken in adultery? The one that they were going to stone to death. And Jesus freed her and told her, "I'm not condemning you. Go and sin no more." There were people there. How about the woman who wiped his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Forgiven of a lifestyle that made her a bad reputation. There were people there whose lives had been changed, people who found purpose. I think of Zacchaeus, wealthy guy, all the money in the world, wasn't making him happy. And when Jesus came into his life and touched his life, now he had a purpose beyond making money. The changed. And they were certainly shouting, Hosanna, blessed be the King of Israel. But what about today? Today, we still have the same four categories. Today, there's still those who are contrary to Jesus. Now, I know there are atheists who are just antagonistic, but I think a lot of people are just, I don't want Jesus. And a lot of times, they feel like they have more to lose than to gain by receiving Christ. I understand that. I remember thinking if I gave my life to Jesus Christ, he would absolutely ruin it. And my fun days were over. Is there something to lose? Yeah, I lost. I lost a few partying friends. I lost I lost going to a few parties. Tell you what I gained. I gained a sense of peace and security that I had a purpose in life now and that I had a future beyond this grave. I gained that. I gained a lot with that. I've never, for 40-some years, I've never looked back and thought, I wish I hadn't made Jesus my Lord. No, there's so much more to gain. Some people have been contrary to Jesus because you've been stung by religion. Religion can be harsh. Years ago, Joy and I did a message and together on relationships. And, you know, it was a good relationship. It wasn't fire and brimstone. And I remember a lady wrote me, and man, she just read me the riot act. It was her first time. And she wrote me about how she brought her relatives that needed salvation, and all she heard was some weak, simple message that was just watered down. I mean, she just went on and on and on. She just ripped me. Her first time. She didn't give me a second chance. She just, her first time, she ripped me. And I thought to myself, I didn't write her back. Could have. Thought about it. Thought about writing her back and said, well, no stinking wonder your relatives aren't saved. As nasty as you are. I just blessed her heart. Just went on down. But listen, there are way too many people who've been stung by religion. But can I tell you, please, religion is not Jesus. And there's a lot of people that have seen religious harshness, and that is not Jesus. And that's not him. And then there are people who are contrary to Jesus because basically what they're saying is, I'm going to reject you before I give you a chance to reject me because I've been bad, because I've done things. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the life I've lived. You don't know how bad I've been. And the Lord could never forgive my sins. You're too late. He already has. In Romans, the 5th chapter, Paul writes, he said, for God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were perfect, not while we were trying to get everything right, it's while we were still sinners, he died for us. He's already forgiven. Listen, our message to the world is your sins are already forgiven. All you need to do is receive it. The contrary. The ones who are curious. Some of you are curious, and I mean, you've heard about Jesus. You're not opposed. You've heard about him. And maybe you've seen how he's changed someone's life that you know and love. So you've kind of hoped, maybe secretly, that there actually is this supernatural Jesus. And maybe this supernatural Jesus can actually do something amazing in your life. And you would be right. But you don't just want to remain curious. You want to take a step of believing. The psalmist writes it this way in Psalms 34:8, one of my favorites. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. There's something, if you want to see that the Lord is good, you got to taste. If you want his blessings, you got to trust. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is, so you take a step of believing and your curiosity will be over. You're going to come in contact with a loving Savior who can do and will do amazing things in your life. And the first thing he does is he makes you a new creation on the inside, and spiritually you're changed. the curious, the confident. You're the ones who are confident that Jesus is King and always will be. Maybe you've read this passage in Philippians and being found in appearance as a man. This is talking about Jesus. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There are many of us who are confident that we are part of an eternal kingdom, and we have a King who will always be King. And we're confident that not only are we a part of his kingdom, but he offers us a future. And it's a future better than anything anyone else could offer, because it's not just for this life, it's for the next life as well. And we're confident that he will improve our life. Here's the challenge. Sometimes things don't work out as much as you would like. And just like that first crowd was disappointed that Jesus didn't fix everything for him, sometimes people get disappointed when everything doesn't work out perfectly. We live in a fallen world. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews, don't cast away your confidence. It has great reward. Don't cast away your confidence, even though things may not have worked out. And maybe you're sitting here today and Jesus is your King, and you know that and you acknowledge that, but there's a disappointment there. Listen, renew that confidence. He's the King now and will always be your King. Don't ever change your allegiance just because things haven't worked out like you thought. That you can still remain confident and you can still say, Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel. Blessed is my King. Then there's the changed. This is a lot of us. You're the changed. You're the ones whose lives Jesus has touched. There are many of us in here right now who have been healed or been delivered from something. I've told you some of my stories before. 35 years ago, I was having debilitating anxiety attacks. I was in sales, and every time I would go in to make a sales presentation, I would have these anxiety attacks. I could feel them come on me like somebody threw a coat over me. And I would feel them come on me, and all of a sudden I'm pouring sweat. That is not a comfortable feeling if the guy trying to sell you something is sweating profusely. It makes it look like I'm lying. And it was hurting. It threatened my whole career. And I'm like, God, Lord, I need your help. I need you to deliver me. But I'm telling you, the same Jesus, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. And if he delivered then, he delivers now, and he can deliver tomorrow. He still does that. And I was sitting in a lobby, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brought a scripture back up to mind. It just floated up in my heart that said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I went, thank you, Lord, I am free indeed. And for the last 35 years, I've never had another anxiety attack, and I don't plan on having any more. He's a deliverer. I'm one who he has touched. And there are many in here. My wife healed of acute chronic pancreatitis. And outside, I mean, the doctors are looking at her going, there's nothing we can do, but there's something he can do. And there's many of us who are healed of cancer and healed of problems and dealt with things and depression and things that no one gave you a chance, but he touched your life and you've been changed. There's a lot of us our lives have been changed because he showed us mercy and forgiveness. I made Jesus Lord when I was 18, about to turn 19, went back to college and fell away. And after I fell away, I lived pretty wild. I did drugs. I had one lady told me one time, she said, it's the thing I love about you, Pastor. I tell everyone, my pastor was a drug addict. No, actually, I was not. I was not a drug addict. I smoked a lot of weed, but, you know, that's not much more. But I was partying. I had graduated from college. I'd been away at a training session. And man, I'd done some things that honestly are embarrassing now. And I'm coming back home, and I'm riding in the car. It was a beautiful day. It's actually in the mountains of Virginia. It's gorgeous. And for some reason, I couldn't get a radio. This is before Siri and a lot of other things. This is way back in the 80s. back when you had to sing to yourself, when you couldn't get the radio. So I had the windows rolled down. It was a beautiful day. I'm singing Doobie Brothers. I'm singing Eagles. And then I'm singing Amazing Grace. I remember singing Amazing Grace, and the presence of God filled that car. You would have thought God would want nothing to do to me, with me. I'd rejected Him. I'd turned away from Him. And yet here I am, for some reason, singing Amazing Grace, and His amazing grace filled that car. And it was a reminder He had not forgotten me, and He had not given up on me, and He will not give up on you. And there's so many of us that could say, Lord, You have been merciful and kind and good to us. And we sang Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Zion. Those of us whose lives He's changed, those of us who found purpose beyond the rat race. I heard someone say one time, listen, if you win the rat race, that makes you the winning rat. But there's got to be more purpose in life than just going to work and coming home and going to work and coming home, cutting the grass, dealing with the kids. There's got to be more to that. And the Lord is the one who makes us understand that we were born for a purpose, that we're here for a purpose, that we have a purpose now, we'll have a purpose for eternity. He's changed us. So we're the ones that, with unabashed, just lift our hands and say, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel. Blessed is my King. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've never been there. Maybe you're the contrary today. Maybe you're the curious today. Maybe you need to regain some confidence today, that you lost your confidence. We're going to say a prayer. If you've gone away from the Lord, I had a young man talk to me after the first service. He said, I got away from God. Hey, it happens. I did the same thing, but it doesn't have to stay that way. Maybe you've pushed away Jesus. You've had all you want of religion, but you don't realize how good He is and how much He will touch your life and change your life. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and no one to leave just for a few moments. Close your eyes. We're going to say a prayer. Obviously, I can't see if you're online. We're going to say a prayer here. And if you've been away from the Lord, you know you need to come back, or maybe you're just not sure where you stand with the Lord, this prayer is for you. So his heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's moving or looking around. I'm going to ask you one question. If that's you that I'm talking to and you're saying, you know, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord, or I know I need to come back, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, that's me. Would you pray? Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Anybody else say, Alan, that's me. Would you guys pray for me? Appreciate that. It takes courage to do that. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand and you wanted to, you can still get in on this prayer. We're going to pray with you as a church family. If you're online, you're by yourself, just pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. But if you're here and this is the cry of your heart, pray this prayer with us. It's a powerful prayer. It's a life-changing prayer. It's an eternity-changing prayer. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to You. And with head still bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank You for those who have made a life change, for those who have come to You, for those who have come back. And we rejoice with them, stepping out of spiritual darkness into the light, for coming back into the light. Thank You for Your mercy and Your compassion and Your care. Thank You for a Savior. We give You all the praise. And Father, for those who are here, who know they've been changed, who are confident that You're their King, Lord, we join our hearts with them in saying thank You. Hosanna. Shouts of praise to our great King and Lord. Thank You for what You've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.